Hello and welcome to VHTB, your guide to the talent, culture, and finance side of the space startup ecosystem. My name is Saika Majeure, the CEO of Ad Astra Talent Advisors, and I'm joined today by Matt Jertsen from Better Everyday Studios.
Hello.
And Justice Killian of Space Capital.
Hey.
I wanted to take a little bit of maybe a softer approach to some of the topics we often jump into. I was having a conversation with an acquaintance recently about her work at SpaceX, and she was sharing that I was casually asking, what do you do for your workouts? And she said, oh, I don't have time to work out. And kind of went into a description of what her days look like. And it's basically, you know, in the office at 9, leave at 8, on her laptop at home, and then working most weekends. And I then had another SpaceX employee say, oh, wow, well, that wasn't my experience. I was coaching my son's soccer team and, you know, had plenty of capacity for that. And so that it really differs by team, you know, at a place like SpaceX. I've also seen varying degrees of kind of what sort of demand there is or work-life balance at different startups and what different founders set for that. And specifically wanted to have that conversation in the context of being parents. What that looks like when you've got this additional demand of the home life, demand and of course huge
joy
and beautiful component of life, and just how people who are thinking about founding organizations or thinking about joining a startup can kind of conceptualize juggling these huge decisions.
This is definitely something that is near and dear to my heart because my daughter was 5 months old when I started working at SpaceX. And it was, and so it was a tricky thing that took me a long time to navigate. I want to start off by saying that I think, you know, everything probably we're going to be speaking in generalities to our particular, the things that we have seen and we have experienced. And I think you're 100% right. Even within one company, teams can have completely different cultures, and the realities of what it takes to work on those teams may be different. That being said, from my perspective, I have always thought of children as being a dramatic clarifier for what is important. You know, if you think big picture about almost all innovation is driven by constraint. And one of the things that most we can always innovate on is how to use our time better. And if you don't have any constraints on your time other than there are only 24 hours in a day and you need somewhere between 6 and 8 hours to sleep, you're not providing a ton of constraint on yourself there's no forcing function to get you to rethink how you're doing work or even what you are doing. And so I think, And I've definitely talked with other people that work in startups that feel the same way, where because you now have this other person who is depending on you and will take away a good chunk of your time, it is that forcing function to be like, you know, can I do things differently? And I mean, I would go through phases, even when I was working at SpaceX, where I would, and this wasn't entirely just, you know, the fact that I had a child related, it was also just kind of trying to think up new ways where I couldn't do this all the time, but I would go through weeks where I would say, okay, this week I am only going to be at the office for 40 hours. That is it. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to ask for like, hey, can you pick up this project for me? The demands, the expectations are going to be the same, but I'm going to try to only work 40 hours a week. And what that meant is in that week, maybe I wasn't having a coffee conversation. Maybe I was opting out of a meeting that I would normally attend. Maybe I was deciding this project, that's actually not an important project right now. And I don't know if I would have made those decisions if I didn't put those constraints on my time.
That's really really powerful. This is reminding me of the quote. What's that quote? Work will expand to fit 100%. the amount of time allotted, yes. Right? And yes. You go, this is the amount of time that's allotted, and I will force prioritization. That's definitely been a key thing for me in becoming a parent too, is that it forces priorities. If it's not important, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, I think that was incredibly insightful. And, you know, space capital, so I've been at the firm now 8 years. The way it looks to found and build, you know, a venture firm is different than a startup in that, you know, we have much longer feedback loops. And so, you know, we're in startup phase for a much longer period. And so, you know, when I joined my partner, Chad, who founded the firm, you know, I did not have kids, and so I was able to sort of like take that risk and that uncertainty and then we've grown as an organization, but are still very much in that validation phase, demonstrating performance. And it could take over 10 years to even get to that sort of first proof point. And so, you know, since then I've had, you know, kids in the process, and it has, you know, it's just changed the entire sort of shape of what my work looks like. And I've been more intentional at building trusted relationships that can help clarify some of the opportunities that come to me from an investment perspective. So I'm not spending as much time having like random conversations as I would when I was much earlier in my career. But when an opportunity gets to me, it's sort of, you know, flown through a couple of layers where I know there's sufficient level of credibility to it, that it's a really good use of time. And it's, you know, forced me to then lean in and prioritize some of those higher value, more strategic outcomes. So, I didn't think that I would sort of be at the age I am now and still sort of be in a startup organization and in a culture. It is definitely manageable. I think you can do it at all walks of life. It's a thrilling and exciting journey, you know, wherever you're at. And it's just, you know, you're forced to manage those constraints in a very thoughtful way. And, I actually like it more. I think it has made me better at my work because I have more clarity of what I'm going to focus on. So.
Yeah. The clarity and clear priorities makes a lot of sense. I'm often looking at this from the perspective of people who are interested in joining startups and go, I couldn't possibly, I have a family, right? And I'm going to sound like a broken record from a few of our past episodes, but I'll bring it up again because it just is so key, right? So from the perspective of the startup, to be clear on what your culture is and figure out how you're going to communicate it. And then figure out how to say yes and no to the people who fit and don't fit that. So what that looks like, you know, there are varying steps across the scale, but there's some organizations that take that very seriously and want to create a structure where people have, you know, flexible work environments and priorities, goals are still at the forefront, but they've got flexible design in order to support life's varying necessities. There are other startups where the founders are very clear that they want people who are sleeping under their desk. They want people who are, you know, at the office from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. and they're on the weekends as well. And that's not bad. It just is. And what would be bad is having that expectation and not communicating it, because now we are setting people up for failure. On the candidate side, it's the same process, right? Get clear on what you want, figure out how to communicate it, and then be ready and willing to opt in and out based on that information. And there are startups that are successful that fall along that scale. And so just ensuring that you're identifying the ones that fit what is going to fit for you at this stage of life, and figuring out how to make it work.
I think there's also a stage in there too. You know, you talked about the individual and you talked about the organization, but I've also experienced the importance of managers, or, you know, kind of setting that, and you know, using manager as kind of a broad term to include any people manager level, to determine what the expectations are for their team. At the last company that I was within, it very much was an organization that was probably more on the sleep under your desk kind of organization, where, you know, from the highest level, the directive was just like, everyone is all in all the time. I made it very clear during my hiring process that I wasn't going to work that way. Like, there was a time I was going to leave. I come to work early, so, you know, I'm coming in at 7:30 while most people aren't coming in until 9:30, but I'm out at 5 o'clock so I can make it home for family dinner. I was very clear about it during the interview process. My manager was cool with it. And so even though the organization as a whole had this one mindset, my manager was kind of skilled enough and focused on results enough that I was still able to thrive in that organization. And she was very successful in the organization, which means she probably, the company thought she had a successful team, you know? So she was just being hyper clear when she would get directives of, okay, but like, what are the outcomes that you want to achieve? So then she passes those outcomes on to me so that I can achieve them within the kind of time constraints that I've done. So even at a manager level, there can be some leeway there of you know, how you want to think about your team. And I do, and I also want to, but I do also want to double click on what you were saying, Seika, and agree with this idea that you know, though I've been kind of the one championing, you know, do less, you know, minimize your time or really focus your time, there are also times where it takes a lot of time to get stuff done. And I you know, think about building my own company. I know for a fact we are not growing as quickly as we could because there are things on my to-do list that I'm just not doing right now because I want to spend time with my family. And I'm just willing to accept that. And so to your point of every organization has the right to kind of define how they want to do it. And there may be places and industries and scenarios where if you don't set that tone of we're sleeping under our desk, maybe you just can't get enough done to be successful in a certain point in time. And so it's very specific, but I think you're totally right. It's like being open and honest about it is the first thing you need to do.
Yeah, I'll also say I'm gonna get myself in trouble, piss some people off here, but I think it's useful to say is that, so while I think none of those cultures are wrong, right? It's about being clear and honest and letting people do what makes sense for them. I will say that there is a trend that I have seen, or a pattern of typically first-time founders that have limited life and work experience that come to me and say, I'm looking for SpaceX engineers with 7 to 12 years of experience. I want them low cash, high equity. I want people sleeping under their desks and here on the weekends. And I go, so those are the people, right? We're getting into let's work with statistics here. Those are people who probably are not going to be as interested in that balance, right? That yes. We're getting into the phase of life where statistically people are settling down and have outside of work commitments. And that doesn't mean that we can't find those people, but it does mean that it will take longer or they will be more expensive, right? And so just being realistic about what you're targeting and, you know, how likely you are to get the majority of the team that you're looking to build that fit those criteria.
I mean, the thing that I'll add is, from an investor standpoint, backing a company, my expectations are going to lean much more heavily into that, like, do whatever it takes to build this company. And so oftentimes, you know, when I'm sitting across the table from a founder, like, I want to understand why they opted into this journey, because I, you know, a question I'll ask is, the next decade of your life, you're going to miss many of your kids's, you know, key moments. Why are you willing to give up, you know, your blood, sweat, and tears for this vision, you know? And you hear a wide variety of, different responses. Oftentimes there's something personal in it. Oftentimes it is sort of legacy building in that they're, some of the work that they're doing is important for their children and their future generation, and they believe that they're playing a small part in creating a better future for them. And so, it's a complex reality, and you throw venture capital into it, it's going to create a different set of incentives. And so, as a founder, as an employee joining a venture-backed firm, you sort of have to realize that we have a set of constraints with our capital. We have to see a set of growth metrics, and we're setting those expectations with CEOs from day one. And so it's going to be an imbalanced reality. And, this phase of your life, it may not make sense for that, and that's okay. There are multiple phases in life where you can have that opportunity. And so balancing those trade-offs and being very clear personally what you're wanting doesn't mean that you're like missing the opportunity. There will be another
Yes.
opportunity to do that. And so
Yes.
don't jump into something that you don't, fully grasp what you're giving up on a personal side.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Yep, beautiful. Well, I've re really gotten a lot from this conversation. I think that parenthood, you both have spoken to how parenthood gives a lot of clarity and forced prioritization, which allows us to be innovative in how we're tackling life, how we're looking at life, and also just how valuable the clarity of what you want and being willing to say no to what doesn't align is so valuable in work, in life, and where the two meet and interact.
Sekha, I
Yeah.
feel like I have to flip this around on you because
Yeah.
you've, founded at Astra. You're a mother of two. I know you run marathons, you're a triathlete, you're a pilot. Help us understand some of that complexity and how you do all of that. I think it's really important to get your voice here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of it is strategic prioritization and delegating the things that don't utilize my specific skill set, right? Find areas where I am a multiplier and using my mind directly there, and then using my team to support me in areas that I can develop them to be even stronger powerhouses where I am. I also have really clear boundaries around the time with my kids, and that is something that feeds me psychologically, emotionally, and mentally. It's without that, without that, I would not be able to do the my best work in my job. So, I find ways to integrate my sons into my extracurriculars. My son does triathlons with me.
Yes.
Often I've got my boys in the stroller while I'm running. They go flying with me. So there are ways that I integrate them. In fact, when I'm watching the launches, usually my son's sitting right here. Starship's his favorite rocket. Anyway, we've got lots of ways that I integrate my children into my life, and also it's very important for me to want to build excitement about space, about entrepreneurialism and startups and the incredible technology that we're building for future generations in instilling that into our sons. So when you talk about a longer term legacy, the intentionality, that kind of my why, that's a big part of what drives me and keeps me going.
If I could riff on that for just one second, because something that I think is so important for everybody to hear, which maybe this is a bit presumptuous to put out there, is something that people don't already know. But it's just like you can do anything you want, but not everything you want. And you have to make these choices. And the last thing you want is to, say I'm going to focus on a career because it's really, really want, and push off having kids and then never have a family, and then like feel bad about your career because you never got to have a family. And at the same time, you don't want to sacrifice a career so that you can have a family and then feel bad about having, like blame your kids for the fact that you never got to build that startup that you wanted. It's all about making choices, being intentional, and then and pushing forward. Because I think if you're in a place where either one, and there are ways to do, as you're saying, you know, to integrate these things and have what you want, as long as you're intentional about it.
That's beautiful.
Well, you both seem to do it very thoughtfully, and I'm inspired by that. Having young kids, like being able to see that it is possible to, you know, blend these worlds together. So,
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you both. I think that connecting this back to kind of the startup world, that this is possible both from a founding perspective and for people who are out there interested in joining startups or thinking about going to another startup. It's possible in many different stages of life and different stages of your areas of focus, what's energizing you and how you are balancing the many components of life. And just be taking the time to get clear, do the self-reflection and have the self-awareness to understand what it is that you need in this stage and not be so worried about missing out that you opt in for something that's not aligned, and know that there you can be planning out a few years in the future so that you are, or 10 years in the future, and know that there are opportunities later on that you can be preparing yourself for now, but you don't have to dive in before you're ready. So thank you both so much for such a thoughtful and heartwarming conversation.